faithful. Last week, we talked a little bit about transitions, and we've transitioned into a new year. I don't know if you've noticed or not or had trouble writing things out, but it is 2019. Exactly. And when we transitions are natural in life, and some transitions are not very comfortable. They put us in situations and circumstances that are not easy. They can be very difficult in times. But the transitions have a purpose in God's plan and purpose. And that's what we have to know and understand, that God is working despite how I feel. Because why? God has good intentions toward me and you and this church. Listen, Wednesday night, we probably had the largest crowd we've ever had on a Wednesday night for our anointing service. We anointed everybody for the new year. It was awesome. It was just awesome. And tonight, if you miss that service, we'll give you an opportunity. We want to let the hand of God's favor, that's what we're anointing you for, the hand of God's favor on your life for a new year. Don't get too excited. Listen, I don't know. It seems like it's just, I don't know. Listen, you know there's some strange things that happen spiritually. And you ought to desire the favor of God on your life. Amen? Now, will a laying hands on somebody and pouring oil, will give that to you? No. Well, I don't know it, but it might help. The truth of the matter is you've got to be obedient to him and his word. And sometimes we need extra strength to be obedient. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the fellowship of the church. And that's why sometimes we need to ask him for his favor. Because here's the deal. If Abraham asked for God's favor, I think it's a good thing for you to do it. If Moses asked for God's favor, I think it's a good thing for you to do it. Amen? And sometimes we have not because we ask not. So I would just encourage you, if you didn't make it, because here's one thing I want. The hand of God, the hand of God's favor on every one of your lives. Amen? Do it, Lord. So we've been talking about transitions. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's our destiny, to be like Jesus. And we make micro changes in our lives to become more like Jesus. I hope that I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I want to become more like Jesus. And because that's his goal for my life. That's his purpose for my life. And I want my heart, my mind, my life to mold into what he wants to do because that's his purpose. I want my life to glorify him. Amen? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Notice what Paul is saying. We're being transformed into whom? The image of the Son. How were you doing that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus in our lives. Amen? And it is our purpose, our desire should be to be more like Jesus every day. Some days I live up to it, and some days I have to say, Lord, help me. Right? And then some days I have to repent. Yeah. See, the beauty of that is God uses to transform us into his son's image. He uses circumstances and situations and things that are good and some things are bad to make these transitions that happen to our lives. And some things are just natural part of life. You know, last week I talked about my kids transitioning from diapers to non-diapers. And that's a natural thing. It's a natural process. And those growing transitions are not easy. You just ask any mama who had to watch their child go to kindergarten. It's tough to let them go. What's that teacher going to do to them? Transitions are not always easy. I think one of the hardest transition I had as a dad is to watch my kids start dating. Yeah, some of you laughing now. Would you just wait? Transitions are a natural part of it. And then there are some transitions that happen are very difficult, very painful, when you lose something, when you lose someone, when divorce happens, when death happens, when they're very difficult. But I want you to know all of those transitions in God's plan has a purpose to make you like his son. And the thing we have to do is be prepared for transitions that take place. Now, there are many transitions that are surprises to us. And they happen just boom, I didn't see that coming. And it's kind of like you're driving down the road and all of a sudden everything's wonderful, my life is wonderful, and you get T-boned. And all of a sudden, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where you're going, and life is out of control. Can I tell you, God is at work. Don't give up on him. Don't run away from him. Run to him. It may be uncomfortable. It may be terrible. But this is what I know. You need him then more than ever before. And the other thing you're going to need is someone else in your life. You're going to need an EMT. Amen? You're going to need an emergency assistance in the midst of that transition. Don't stiff arm people who are trying to help you. What the enemy wants to do is cut you away from people who have loved you the most. And that is the trick of the enemy. And in the midst of transition, sometimes we can lay hold of our feelings and the enemy will play with those feelings in such a way we make decisions that create long-term uck. Because the transition has a purpose to make you more like Jesus. And if you're not careful, and if you don't learn those transitions, which experience has taught me that I tend to go through that same thing again. And I go through it again. At times, this has been my prayer. Lord, help me to learn the first time. I don't want to have to repeat this class. Amen? Yeah. So there are some things that you can do to prepare for transitions. And the people you hang around with can help you a great deal. And you have to understand, there are spiritual seasons in your life. There is a winter time when it seems like nothing is happening. And there is a fall when everything that you possessed is falling away from you. There is a summer when it seems so hot and so blissful. There's a spring when all of a sudden it's growing. There are spiritual seasons that you have to go through. And you need to be very careful that you don't jump ship in the midst of winter. Because winter, you won't see any growth. Winter, you won't see anything happening. And what's happening in the midst of winter is this. Every plant, every tree, their roots grow deeper. So just to sustain the growth that's coming in spring. And too many believers cut themselves off from growth because they disintegrate in winter. We have to be careful with that. In the midst of transitions. And sometimes wilderness precedes transitions into ministry. Wilderness sometimes precedes promised land. With Jesus, think about Jesus for a moment. I mean, you can't get any more perfect than Jesus. Do you understand what I mean? And it was the temptation with Satan himself after that, that transitioned him into ministry. Be careful. Be careful not to quit in the midst of temptation. Don't quit. Huh? You see, when in transition, you and I need a renewed obedience. That's why last week I said that the number one thing you can learn in transition is this: obedience. Obedience to his word, obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to those whom God put in your life with spiritual authority. It's important that you learn obedience. I don't have a problem with obeying God. It's just I don't want to listen to anybody else. You got a problem with God then. Because God put those people in your life to be spiritual authorities over you. And if you can't listen to them, you're not going to listen to him. It's the way it works. It's the way our hearts work. You see? See, when the disciples, God told them, go wait in Jerusalem. Do you understand? That was a transition period. There was no Jesus. There was nothing. Can you imagine how dry it was for those 40 days? 10 days in the upper room, nothing, nothing, nothing. Hey, let's cast lots to try. I just scratch your head sometimes of why they did that. Because there was nothing else to do. Let's do what we used to do, to choose something. And you know, never again in the New Testament will you see the church casting lots. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit gives guidance to his people. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit. So when in transition, we need a renewed obedience. Why? Because we have to understand our source. Our source is God. We have to relearn to rely on God. Isn't that true? Because we can get so comfortable in life, we just go along, everything's going good, and we just kind of forget to rely on God. You know what I read the other day? True statistic. 12% of born-again Christians tithe. Now, that's the evangelical born-again people. That's the average 12% tithe. Think about what the church could do if people would give. Just learn that practice of generosity. I mean, after all, there's a blessing that comes with giving. Huh? Yeah. So when we're in transitions, we need to remember everything is temporary. Everything's temporary. I know. I scratch my head sometimes. We're so worried about our president. You know, everybody says, oh, he's a president. And I could go on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Can I tell you, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. I don't know. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. Listen, heaven is our home. Does that mean you don't have to have a political opinion? No, I got a bunch of them. And most of you wouldn't like most of my political opinions. But it's not, our church is not about political opinions. Huh? I may think you're dumb, but that's okay. And you're going to think I'm dumb. That's okay. Because why? The philosophies of this world, governmental situations are temporary. That doesn't mean we don't need to vote. It doesn't mean we don't need to be informed and educated in relationship to what's good and bad. Do you understand? But understand, that's not life or death. It's temporary. Man. Transitions are temporary. And here's what we got to do in the midst of transitions. Ready? Try to see the activity of God. Try to see the activity of God. Because listen, the enemy wants to blockade you to the activity of God, looking for the activity of God. And sometimes the activity is not in yourself. It's in your wife. It's in your kids. It's in your church. It's somewhere else. You know? And what we want to do is, well, God's not doing anything for me. It's all about me, 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 me. And guess who's won there? You haven't. You see, it does this me great good. As a matter of fact, it does me better, yeah, better to see you blessed than myself. I mean, listen, when I see people getting blessed by the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, it's like, bring it on, God. You know what I mean? There's something good about it. Try to see the activity of God. Number two, I think you need to try to hear the voice of God. In the midst of transitions, there are a lot of voices going on. And sometimes your feelings want to speak, and sometimes your history wants to speak, and sometimes what your mama said to you wants to speak, and what this says. You've got to learn to hear the voice of God. You've got to hear the word of God being bold and declaring in your life. That's why in the midst of transition, let the word of God be your foundation. Read it every day. All the time, really, but especially in the middle of that. You see, his activity can be a voice to you when you see God move. A shut door can be a voice. This is how you, Pastor, I mean, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, well, what's your choices? Blah, 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 blah. I says, okay, take one. If it's not the right one, God loves you enough to shut that door. And then try another one. Who was the coach of the Green Bay Packers that was a really famous guy? Who? I got too many voices. Yeah, that guy. This is what he said. It's a major, major quote of Vince Lombardi. Ready? When there's a split in the road, take it. Take it. Don't get stuck. Do something. And if you're not careful, transitions will make you stuck. I'm afraid. Listen, my wife's not here today. She's up in Virginia with her mom, and so I can say this. And she grew up in a family when no one makes a decision. It's the most frustrating thing for me in the world to hang out with them. I don't know. I'm just saying, could somebody please make a decision? I mean, they have a problem trying to figure out what they're going to eat for dinner. I don't know. I'm hungry. So when we're hanging out with them, we don't eat till 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I don't know about you. That is way past hunger time for me. And it's really hard. Just make a decision. God will protect you. Yeah. And an open door can be his voice as well. Try to understand what God might be doing in you. Because what God is doing in you is more important than what you do. What he does in you will prepare you for what he wants to do through you. And we get that all backwards. We start concentrating on what we're doing, and what's more important is all the gifts I got and all the talents I got. No, what's the most important thing in your life is the heart God gives you to serve him. And if he can correct your heart, he will never have to worry about the gifts and talents being used for your own glory. Misplaced for your purpose and not his glory. So pay attention to what he needs to do in you versus what you do for him. Yeah. Gifts are important, but in transition, focus on what needs to be healed in my heart, in your heart. You see, emotional wounds carry a lot of baggage. It really comes down in relational breakdowns. You know, the person that can't get along with anybody, the problem isn't everybody. It's their own heart. It's their own emotional baggage. And sometimes God puts us in transition so we'll see and sit before the mirror of his Holy Spirit and see a reflection of who we really are and what needs to be healed so he can do his work inside of us.
Amen? And sometimes the disappointments of others can overwhelm us in the midst, and we hold on to that. Here's the other thing. Sometimes our own failures can get us, rob us. Listen, gifts are important, and sometimes they're temporary. Sometimes they're temporary. So in North Carolina, when I pastored up there, I had to lead worship. That was temporary. Do you understand? There's some gifts that God gives you. They're just temporary for the season. Okay, I can live that. Understand that. In your life, you get married to things, and God wants you to be married to Him. United to Him. Yeah. Because God has a bigger plan and purpose for you, and that's God. You see, David was called by the king to play the harp. But there was a time in his life when he had to trade the harp for the crown. And some of you are clinging to the harp when God wants to do something supernatural in your life. The harp was a season. It wasn't the destiny. The harp was something that was preparing you to be something other than what you were. You see, as David was playing the harp, he was watching how a king runs, how a king operates, how people respect the king, and how people play the king. Manipulate the king. How many of you know, playing the harp was just not playing the harp. But there was a day when he had to trade the harp for a crown. So, even in the doing, there's still heart work that God does. Sometimes when I'm crafting a sermon, I realize the sermon is not for you, it's for me. Yeah. The doing sometimes can reveal things in the heart that needs his healing, that needs his correction. Ouch. Understand that. And during transitional moments, what is needed from you? Ready? This is what's needed in a changing world. Faithful men and women of God. In the midst of transitions, your task is to remain faithful to Him. Amen? The number one thing that needs to happen in the midst of transition is obedience. The second priority, the second thing must be established in your heart is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Be faithful. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, if you'll be faithful in the little things, I'll make you. You know, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Larry, I want to teach Sunday school class. I want to teach Sunday school class. I says, well, you know, that might be a good thing for you to do, and it probably is, but I'd like for you to show up at church first. If you're not faithful in the little things, don't expect to be teaching somewhere. Are you hearing me? Huh? Yeah. Faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, God is faithful, who has called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad God's faithful to you? Amen. Glory to Hebrews 3, 5. Moses was a faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. You know, you ever wonder why God used Moses so much? Because he was faithful. He was faithful. If there's two things that needs to be worked in our hearts and our lives, number one, obedience. Number two, a faithfulness. Faithfulness. Yeah. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now it is required. Can you tell me what required means? Excuse me? Necessary. Gotta happen. Number one priority, it is required that those who have been given a trust must proved faithful. In other words, another translation puts it this way. It's required that those who have been given a ministry in the church must be faithful. 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 Too many people miss out on so many blessings because they just won't be faithful. I could go off right there, but I won't. Here's what we said. There is a plan. There is pain in unfaithfulness. That's what I want to tell you. There is pain in unfaithfulness. When the disciples were unfaithful to Jesus, I'm sure it caused a great deal of pain in his own life, in Jesus' life. A lot of great disappointment. And some of you know the pain of someone being unfaithful to you. Their unfaithfulness produced betrayal, and this produced the transition, which was very difficult. And one thing you've got to learn in the midst of that kind of transition, don't do their crime. Be faithful. Some of you know the pain caused by someone's life because of your unfaithfulness. You know what you need to do? Repent. And don't do it again. Learn to be faithful. Here's what I know. Faithful people can be trusted. Amen? Here it is. I'll tell you. Lynn and I knew each other a long time at Southeastern University. And finally, I asked her on my softball team. And then we got involved in student government. And the last year, and my senior year, she was my secretary. Because I was the president of student government, and I decided to keep the secretary. And the summer before, my junior year, I was very interested in Linda. And so she was staying up in Cloudland Canyon with her mom in a little cabin because her brother had addiction issues. And I went up there to see him. Well, see Linda. And her mama met me, and I camped in a tent, and they stayed in their little trailer, and we just hung out a few days, and then I had to go back home and go to work to get money for school the next year. And when I left, this is what her mother said to Linda. I see in that young man a faithful heart. I didn't learn that for a long time. But I did get the most faithful Linda. Amen? Yeah. Faithfulness. Faithful people can be trusted. You know what that means? Strive to be faithful. Be an island of certainty in the midst of a changing world. Be morally consistent. And the truth of the matter is, in the Bible, faithfulness is a mark of maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all reach the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, that goal is what? Jesus. And then he goes on to say, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Why do the people do that? Because they want to rob what God wants to do in your life. So you got to what? Put your hand to the plow and not look back. Be faithful in the little things, even when it's uncomfortable. Amen? You see, the children of Israel were unfaithful to God, and they were sent into captivity. Can I tell you, unfaithfulness will always bring about captivity. Captivity. You know, sometimes I've watched people in my life, God wanted to transition some things out of their lives. So he'd put them against the wall and they'd say, okay, I repent. I'm going to get away from that because it's doing damage to my life. And they get away from it, get victory. And all of a sudden, the temptation to go backward versus forward overwhelms them. And now they're back repeating, being captive too. They can't live without the bondage. Can I tell you, the Son comes to set you free. And part of that freedom is the transition for wholeness in your life. Yeah. Unfaithfulness to God, to the children of Eve, brought them into darkness. The same is true with us. When we are unfaithful to God, it will bring us into bondage, into darkness. It's not what God intended for Israel. It's not what God intends for us. What were they? They became slaves. Bondage to sin. And there's something worse than being a slave, and that is a slavery of the heart. Sin that controls every thought that you have. Thoughts control your speech, and your speech develops the environment. And it is in that environment that cultivates darkness. Here's what you have to pay attention to in the midst of transition. Is your speech cultivating faith? Is your speech cultivating faith? Sometimes we don't pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth. Pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. You know what I mean? I remember talking to a young man. I don't think there's wrong with cussing. I don't think there's anything wrong with cussing. I just don't think there's anything wrong with cussing. And I just said, you know, the weird thing about it is the Bible says this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you're cussing, that's in your heart. And that ought to warn you. That ought to be a light switch on the wall to the darkness that's in your own heart. Because listen, if you don't manage your heart, the issues of your life will fall apart. Yeah. Yeah. You have to create a culture. An environment where healthy transitions can take place. And faithfulness does this. Some have sabotaged the transition God was trying to make or accomplish in their lives, but they could not change their environment, their activity, because they refused to be faithful to what God had already spoken in their life. What needs to be in your culture? Your environment for healthy transition. Number one, truth. Amen? A love for the truth. Why? Because the truth what? Sets you free. You got to love the truth. The second thing that's got to be in your environment to create transition is love. Because why? Love disciplines. Love corrects. Aren't you glad God has corrected you a few times in your life? Not enough. I'm just joking. Love disciplines. You know what else love does? Love trusts. It trusts the people God puts in your life, because the people God's put in your life are there to help you make the transition in your life. And if you're pushing people away all the time, you're not going to transition. Amen? Here's the other thing that love does. Love pays attention to the other. It's not self-serving. What's in this for me? What am I going to get at? Listen to me. Just learn to love the other. Amen? Love creates an atmosphere of grace. And where his grace doth abound, something supernatural can happen. Amen? And the other thing you got to do, you got to love the truth. You got to promote an atmosphere of love. And the other thing is this, cultivate God's presence in your life. Cultivate God's presence in your life. An environment where the Holy Spirit can do his work. What's the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit guides, the Holy Spirit brings peace, and the Holy Spirit can heal what no man can see inside your heart. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God and is able to pray it through you. The Holy Spirit can work supernaturally. You and I have to give weight, give the ability of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. How many of you want the will of God to happen? Cultivate that presence of God over your life. The last thing you got to do to create this environment is hope. hope. Can I tell you, tomorrow's going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be better. There's got to be a hope. Huh? Hope. Tomorrow's going to get better. Tomorrow's going to get better. I need the worship team back up here. The hope. Glory to God. It's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. This day wasn't so good, but tomorrow is another day. You got to learn to have a little hope. Now, I was listening to a great theologian the other day, Dabo Sweeney. I got to find it. Hang on. If there is hope in the future, there's power in the present. Did you hear that? If there's hope in the present, there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. If you and I will have a little hope about tomorrow, some things about today will take care of themselves. Some things about today you're going to leave behind. And some of the things need to be left behind. Amen? Yeah, left behind. In an atmosphere of hope, you've got to arrest negative thoughts and attitudes. Arrest them. Lock them up. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why, O my soul, are you down? Why are you so disturbed within me? Have you ever been there? You ever been downcast? It's a natural product of life. You're going to have a bad day. Amen? Look what he says. Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him, my Savior and my God. What do you do when you're downcast? Put your hope in God. Praise him. Amen. Psalm 147, verse 11. For the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. I don't know about you, but when in the midst of transition, I want God to be delighting in me. That means I need to delight myself in him. Faithful men, listen to this, faithful men would lead the children of Israel out of captivity, out of slavery. Moses, Nehemiah, Ezra. That's why we need to learn faithfulness. Transitions have the potential to trap people in a dark place emotionally, a dark place spiritually, a dark place mentally, a dark place physically. But listen to me, faithfulness to the Lord, to his truth, to his love brings liberation. Hallelujah. And some people need liberation in their life to be set free, and he is the freedom maker. Stand with me, would you? I don't know where you are today, but I sense somebody in your heart, in your life, you need a little hope so that his power can usher in into your presence. Somehow you need a little hope in God's ability to do. You need to know that what you're going through right now is just transition. There's a new day coming. The scripture that was quoted early this morning by a little friend. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and plans to give you a future and a hope. God is faithful. Some of you have not been good in creating an atmosphere, an environment of healthy transition. Matter of fact, it's more like an attitude of imprisonment, of slavery. And you need to break that off your life right now. You need to shake the dust off your feet from that atmosphere, from that situation, and be free today in the name of Jesus. You've been held captive by your own thoughts, by your own mind, by your own mental attitude. Stop it. In the name of Jesus, be a person of hope. Cultivate love and truth in your life and over your life. Can we just worship him right now and thank him for loving us? Would you thank him for giving you a destiny in him, an eternity with him, a future and a hope in him? Would you just thank him right now? Would you thank the Lord?